So there's this mysterious mitzvah, maybe, of Shechita. Maybe because many Rishonim think that the pasuk with which we began the sugya, "Vizavachta kasher tibisicha, vizavachta v'achalta," Dvarim Yibed, many Rishonim say it's not really one of the Tariq mitzvahs at all. It's details in the mitzvah that we know about from Dvarim Yidalet of Lo Soch L'Kol Nevelim. And that is the position apparently of Rashi, and that is the position of the Ri and the Ritzva. Might be the position of the Ravid. No mitzvah to Shecht. There's a lav of Nevela. At some point we have to tell you, well, what constitutes a Nevela? So it's a pure Tehalach. And just like the Rambam says, there's a mitzvah of bringing a carbon ola. That's a mitzvah. And then you have a whole host of psukim. They give you all the details of what does it mean to bring carbonola. You have to shecht it here, and you have to do this with the blood, and you have to have shed v'nituach, and so on. So all the details, not every pasuk is a new mitzvah. Those are all details. There's a single mitzvah of tzitzis. You open Shulchan Aruch, there'll be simon after simon after simon of halachas of tzitzis. How to tie the tzitzis, and then tailas, and then this, and then that, the beged rips, all sorts of things, when do you make a bracha. And those are all details of one single mitzvah of tzitzis. So that's the position of many Rishonim. Vizavachtik, Asher Tzivisicha, is just telling you, and we saw that most, we saw that very clearly in the Ritzva in Shavuos, in Tosis in Shavuos, and the Rashmi Shantz, calling the Ri in Tosis Shantz, in Psachim. No new mitzvah. But there is a common approach in Rishonim, which appears, as we saw, the first day in Tosis and Shavuos, and several other places as well, in Chulin, Psachim, and so forth. Rajba later in Chulin will get to Mitzvah Shem. That pasuk is telling me a new Isser of eating an animal without Shechita. There's a lav of eating an Avela, which means that's dead without Shechita. And then there's a more expansive Isser of Eino Zavuach, anytime it has not had a Shechita, whether it's dead without a Shechita, animal's dead without Shechita, or animal's still alive. And obviously has not yet had Shechita. Either way, that's covered by Eino Zavuach. So that's an Isser. Unlike the Vela, that's an Isser that really begins while the animal's alive and persists, continues into beyond the animal's death if it dies without a proper Shechita. So that's the approach of the first day in Tosis. And the Rashba, Asay, there's an Isser Asay of Eino Zavuach. And then yesterday we began to dig into the approach of the Rambam, who definitely thinks that the Vizavachta is a mitzvah. He's quite clear about that, as he points out in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Often in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, his major goal, he has like a paragraph or two per mitzvah, oftentimes his major goal in the paragraph will be to prove that this indeed is a mitzvah. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not obvious. When it's not obvious, that becomes often his major thrust. As we saw here in Mitzvah Kuf Mem Vav, he spends time coining Sifra. It says, this is a mitzvah. You see, it's a mitzvah. Gevav. Okay. By Bedika Simanim, see a Sifra, you see it's a mitzvah. But the question is, what type of mitzvah is it? So what we began to see yesterday, unlike the Prima Gadon, who thinks that the Rambam is aligned with all the Baliatosis and the Rajba, it's Israel Sev, Zavachta, Mabusha Yamtif, and Shana Cutler point out, and other Achorim as well, that's not the case. It's not, for the Rambam, it's not an Isser. It's not an Isser that's phrased in the Torah using positive language. In Isser, Asay, Lava, Mikal, Asay. No, for the Rambam, it seems like it's actually a mitzvah in the usual sense. A kiyum mitzvah. You get a mitzvah, as we would say. You're makayim a mitzvah by shechting. The fact that we're not all running around trying to shecht animals, we're not seeking to shecht an animal every day, the same way we put on tefillin every day, well, that's because, or let's say Rambam says it's a mitzvah of tefillah in the Torah to daven every day, and we don't shecht animals every day. Why not? That's apparently the default frequency of a mitzvah, unless otherwise specified, is once a day every day. Tefillah, and so forth. So why do we have to shecht an animal once a day every day? So the answer is no. Because this is more or less a mitzvah sarishos, akin to what we saw yesterday. The Rambam writes near the beginning of the last parak of Hilchos Brachos. You have some mitzvahs are an absolute chiv, And as he said, you're chayv lehishtadel v'lerdof acharei. You have to run after it. You have to do whatever you can to make sure that you can put on tefillin every day. You have to do whatever you need to do to make sure you're going to have a shofar Rosh Hashanah and you can blow or hear someone else blow that shofar Rosh Hashanah. It has to happen. Okay? But if you can, you need to make it happen. Other mitzvahs, not. Other mitzvahs are contingent. If you want to live in a house, that's b'chayv mezuzah, so then live in that house. If you live in the house, then you're mechuyah to put up mezuzah. It's not optional. It's not optional to do the ma'aseh mitzvah, but it's optional at an earlier stage whether or not you want to enter into those conditions. You're not mechuyev to live in such a house. You want to live in a tent? Knock yourself out. You want to live on a boat? It has pros and cons. You want to live in an RV? It's going to have pros and cons, but there's nothing wrong with opting to live in an RV even though you're not going to be chayiv. You're not mevatel the mitzvah of mezuzah because you chose to live in an RV, which is pater from mezuzah. That was the Rambam Hilchos Brachos, and that informed that has really set up a model for how to think about Shechita as well. I mean, so other cases where you have a mitzvah that only applies in certain circumstances. The most extreme one is Hashavas HaGezel. Certainly no one's going to say that you, Chumar Song notwithstanding, no one's going to say that you actually should steal so that you can be Mekayim the mitzvah that say of Hashavas HaGezel. That's obviously absurd and utterly wrong. You should not steal. Chalila V'chas. The Torah is quite clear. That honesty, including honesty with your words and honesty with money and honesty with other people's money, is halachically necessary. Sometimes people forget that. They think it's like a chumrah. It's not a chumrah. Honesty is a halachic requirement.
What category is that?
And therefore, the mitzvah, Hashavas HaGezel, is not something we seek to do. If a Jew, Rachmana Litzlan, stole, then now he has a mitzvah, a chiyuv, Hashavas HaGezel. But that's like a mitzvah harashos. So the Rambam called domin l'rashos. It's similar to rashos. That was the Rambam in Brachas Yud Aleph Beis. It's not exactly rashos. It's sort of like rashos. Why is it not exactly? Because once you're in the situation, once you're under those circumstances, then you are mechuyev to do the mitzvah. Once you're living in a house that chayev mezuzah, you are obligated. It's not optional. You must do mezuzah. It's just that you're not obligated to get into those circumstances. So as the Rambam calls domin l'rishos, it's not a chova, it's domin or similar to rishos. Sometimes I think Achron refers to it as called a mitzvah harishos. It's a mitzvah, it's a combination. Mitzvah doesn't mean a good deed, as an aside. Mitzvah means a commandment. Mitzvahs are good deeds. Every mitzvah is a good deed, but the word mitzvah doesn't mean good deed, not masam tovim. The word mitzvah means obligation, commandment. God said you, command means God said you must do that. It's a tzivu, it's a chiyuv. So this is a mitzvah sarvashos. It's sort of a blend of the two. So under certain circumstances, here's what you have to do. So that's what the Rambam seems to be saying. The Rambam seems to be saying, I'm not obligated to go out every day and shecht, but there is a mitzvah to eat in this way. If you're going to eat this animal, to shecht it first and then eat. And that was that language we saw. And he says, the interesting type of language, that you should shecht and then eat. So someone even suggested yesterday, what do you mean? Is that a composite mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to shecht. The eating is part of the mitzvah also? Let's hold on to that idea. But it seems like it's a contingent mitzvah, but a real kiyum mitzvah. If I'm going to eat, if I shecht first, I was mekayim a mitzvah of shechita. Not just that I avoided the iser, not iser I say, a kiyum I say for the Rambam. A kiyum I say. The question, and that began, that we saw yesterday, that began to explain the way the Rambam organizes Hilchos Shechita. You have Hilchos Shechita separate from Machalos Asuras, but the lav of Nevela is in Machalos Asuras, because as Mabushi Yantuf pointed out, Nevela is Machalos, is a Isra Achila. Shechita is really a mitzvah to do the Shechita. And he went so far as to say, if I eat Nevela, if a Jew, Rachman Litzlan, goes to the Treifa butcher and buys Treifa beef, exactly. Or, of course, it's a little expensive, trying to cut back, so he buys ShopRite meat. He buys ShopRite meat. So it's mamish nevelos. Beef, not pork, it's beef, the nevela. So, according to the approach of the Riva, the mitzvah and the re, there is no iser saving. There's no assay at all of in the zucha. You violate a lava and a veil, that's it. According to the first position in Tosfos, you violate two things: an iser lava and a veil, and an iser assay of in the zucha. According to the Rambam, Malbusha argues, you only violated lav. There is a mitzvah of a shechita, but that's irrelevant. You'd never touch the animal until it was long dead. Had you been around there, the guy who goes hunting and shoots the deer, instead of trapping it in a way that keeps it alive, shoots the deer, kills it, and then eats it, he violated the shechita. He violated the mitzvah of shechita. And also the lav of the nevela. But normally, just eating the nevela that's presented to you, the Malbusha argues, it's just all you violated for the Rambam is the lav of nevela. That was relevant. You remember he pointed out when you try to compare, when you're triaging Yisurim, triage, T-R-I-A-G-E, is when you try to figure out the relative severity of things. Sometimes it happens in an emergency room where different patients are coming and trying to triage who they have to treat first. You know, it's not called Kodim Zofa. It's whoever is most critical. But sometimes you're triaging Yisurim. And that's the sugya Yuma Pe Gimel, that we spoke about yesterday. Hakal Hakal Pila. That was Yuma Pe Gimel. Belangelimar was Hakal. Hakal. Those are close, sorry. Hakal Hakal Pila. You have to violate Machalos Asuras because of Pikuach Nefesh. The only food around, the guy's in danger of dying if he doesn't eat. And we don't have any kosher food available, or the sort of food that he needs for his medical condition. Only foods that we have that have enough carbs, have enough protein, whatever it is he needs. The only things that we have available are not kosher. Okay, let me say something because of nefesh. It's clearly docha machalos asuras. That's easy. The complexity is if there's no kosher food, but there are multiple treif options. So that's what the Gemara says. There are multiple treif options. Triage. Figure out which is more chamor, which is less chamor. Let's minimize the isser. Let's minimize the isser. And the Gemara said there that you need to figure it out. So what one of the points that Mabushi Antved made, well, let's say it's nevela versus tevel. So tevel gets the crown. It's much more chamor, even though to us, chutznikim in the room don't realize that, but tevel is misa de shamayim. Nevela is just an isser lav. So we would tell the guy, eat the nevela. Stay away, tevel is much worse. How about nevela versus another iser lav? Nevela versus peyoshmius. So this is a lav and that's a lav. So maybe they're even. Or maybe not. Maybe this is a lav and that's a lav and an asay. That's what Mabusha then raised. But the Rambam, it's just a lav. The asay is, or I'd say, because it's a, because again, as we said, here's our jumping up point. In terms of how you read the Zavachta, there are three ways to think about it. Number one is the second sheet in Tosis, which is it's nothing. It's not a new mitzvah at all. Number two, the first sheet in Tosis, which was that it's an Isra Aseh. Oh, fine, Isra Aseh. Number three is the Rambam, who, again, this is not the Prima Gadim's version of the Rambam, but Mabushi Yentos understand the Rambam. This is actually a Kima Aseh. Kufai, a Kima Aseh. Now, but the question is, what type of kiyum aseh? This is what the question we left off with yesterday. Is okay. You look at the evidence; it does seem as this Rambam is saying it fits. It fits with the language of various places. What type of kiyum aseh is this? What type of kiyum aseh is it? What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is a shacht. I understand to have kosher meat. The mitzvah is a shacht. I get the mitzvah of tzitzis. I get the mitzvah of tefillin. The mitzvah of shachting. But we don't have to. If you want to eat. But it's not just a matir, you're saying it's a mitzvah. That's what it makes it sound like it's a mitzvah. So what type of mitzvah is it? I think if you look at Kulin, Dr. Zion, we'll see how, well, I think we'll see that the Rambam is consistent there. We may also get inspiration to figure out what this mitzvah means. Kulin to Zion, Yitzayin is a sugya of the halachic prehistory of Shechita. And this is why you come back to, I promised you last week, and we would come back to these questions, and now we are coming back to these questions. We had originally begun the year by looking at Devarim Perek Yud-Beis, and he said there's so many difficulties in these psukim, so many mysteries. Kasher Tzivi Sicha, so that's where Yehuda HaNasiya addressed, Chulin Chafes. Kasher Tzivi Sicha is a reference to Tarshva Per. And we've begun to address also, what I mean, what type of mitzvah is this Vizavachtas? That we're already talking about significantly. But now we go back to the first pasuk. Yarchav Hashem is gevulcha kasher diber lach. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Jewish people, Eibishter is very soon going to take you into Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to pass away in around a month, or so. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take you into Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Yehoshua ben Nun, and you're going to spend several years conquering Eretz Yisrael. And you're going to take all your and you spend several years moving into Eretz Yisrael. And you're going to be Kovesh Eretz Yisrael, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make your boundaries broader. Kasha Dibalov, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's great promise. And you're going to say, I'm hungry. You're going to be hungry to eat meat? No problem. Go ahead and eat the meat. And you're going to be far from the Makom Nibchar. You're going to be far from the Beis HaMikdash. Don't worry. You can't bring it as a carbon. Don't worry. You have animals, shech them the way I taught you. Shech them as I have commanded you. You can eat them in any city, any place in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, you don't have to bring it as a carbon. You're going to shecht it, not as a carbon. New idea. You'll shecht. Chulin. And that's why we had wondered when we first looked at this pasuk. Why does the Torah stress about the taiva? And why is the Torah described going into Eretz Yisrael as ki yarchiv Hashem is gevulcha? Usually it's ki tavoh el haaretz. But come to Eretz Yisrael, this mitzvah, well, there are many mitzvahs only apply when they came to Eretz Yisrael. That was already preset. Kadosh Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people, this is the halacha. When you come to Yisrael, this mitzvah kicks in. Usually it's ki tavoh el haaretz, or some variation of it. Here's when Hashem makes your, now you come into land, Hashem makes your boundaries broad. Well, what's that? Why the poetry? Why the unique type of description? Just say, prose. You come into Eretz Yisrael. The answer is, well, that's the whole point, is...
Yeah, because the point is that they're
going to
be too far from
the point is, in Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to be able to... it's not going to be so simple to go to Beis HaMikdash every day. In the Midbar, the whole area was a couple of parsos. It's maybe 10 miles wide, the whole area. Maybe 10 miles wide or so, a little less. So, okay, it's a walk, but you can make it there. Plus, it was a small metropolitan area. The entire Machane Yisrael. So basically, Mishkan was never so far away. How far would it be already? A couple of miles, next. Here, that's going to be tens of miles, honey. It could be very, very far. So he said, so that's what Moshe Rabbeinu tells them. You get into Eretz Yisrael, and you want to have Besar Taiva. As you saw, the Gemara first says Besar Taiva, because of the language of the Pasuk. What's the point of saying you want, you desire it? Meaning, you're not bringing a carbon, you're just hungry. Nothing bad, you're just hungry for meat. But the point is, you're hungry for meat, you're not planning to bring a carbon. You're not planning to bring a carbon, you're just hungry. Mere taiva. We're not looking down on it. We're just saying that it's not the impulse to bring a carbon, it's just the impulse to eat flesh. Which is fine. Sounds neutral. Not holy, not profane, not kodesh, not tamid. Hungry for meat. So gesunte, besar taiva. So besar taiva, go ahead and shut it. And then the pasuk says, "Ach, asher yachel tzvi tzayol, kein tochlenu." You'll eat it the same way you eat a tzvi and an ayol. Ayol is not an ayol. Ayol, I believe, is an antelope, one of the chayos. The same way you eat the chayos, who are never brought as a karbon. Karbonas are only brought from behema or oaf, or non-living items. We never bring a chaya as a karbon. The same way you eat a deer, you eat venison, so you can eat beef also. People who are, two Jews can eat this meat together, even though one is tamei and one is tar. Point being, it's not a carp. A carp is only eaten by Adam Tahar. A carp is only eaten in the Beis HaMikdash or in Yerushalayim. But this could be Bisharecha, this could be a Tamei Tar Yachdav, like the Tzvi and the Ayah, this is not a carp. The Torah is being very kind. The Torah goes on to, in the following psukim, to say, but don't forget, don't eat the chalev and don't drink the dam. You have the right to shech the animal, eat the animal, betumah, betara, doesn't matter, in Yerushalayim, anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't matter, but make sure you don't eat the chalev, you don't drink the dam. But the Gemara in Chulin, as you saw, has a fascinating machlokas. Rambam has a fascinating machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva and Shmuel agree to a few things. The first couple of points they agree to, and then they diverge. And this is a... Let's present the sugya this way. Everyone agrees that in the midbar they shechted karbanos,
If they had a carbon, you have to shecht it. So for animals, birds are a little different. And in Eretz Yisrael, you can bring a carbon, you're going to shecht. And everyone agrees, as the Torah tells us, as we just read those or something, that once it comes to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to eat chulin also by shechting it. You shecht chulin, then you eat it. V'zabachta kashet zivizich. Everyone agrees to that. The one missing box in those four boxes, 2x2 grid, right? Carbon in the midbar, shechter. Carbon in Eretz Yisrael, shechter. Chulin in Eretz Yisrael, shechter. Chulin in the midbar, not the same. Not the same. There was no shechita of chulin in the midbar. Everyone agrees to that. Everyone agrees that there was shechita, you had the same shechita of karbanos both in Midbar and in Eretz Yisrael, but you did not have shechita chulin in the Midbar. Shechita chulin, shechita karbanos started already from the get-go, from Har Sinai, maybe even before, but shechita chulin only started when they got in Eretz Yisrael. That's the psukim we were just reading in Bar Yavei. You come to Eretz Yisrael, the Levachter, the Shechita, the Shechita, the Shechita, everyone agrees to that. Both of them agree. But there was no such thing as shechita chulin in the Midbar. The machlokas is, what was there? Was it more megal or more machmir? And that's the machlokas of Bekiva and Rishmal. Bekiva says, sorry, Rishmal. Rishmal says, in Eretz Yisrael, in the Midbar, you're allowed, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be able to shecht chulin, while in the Midbar, what was the prehistory? Oh, the original din, Rabbi Shmuel says, nothing. Nothing. You have no heter whatsoever. No heter whatsoever. Right? And that's the one here. Let's take a look.
It's doing Moser
right. There you go. Rabbi Shmuel over there. Here, like 8 lines from the bottom of Tens Zayin and Beis Lechud. Rabbi Shmuel on there. Lobach, because they're Lahatila and Besar Taibla. These tzukim from Yibay are coming to you, Matir, Bizarre Taiva. He called it Bizarre Taiva because that's the language the Pasuk just saw. We would usually call it just Bizarre Kulin, non Kodesh Hamid, non Kodesh. The Chil Nesel had Bizarre Taiva. It originally was us. The Shinif is Lore, Zutel and Bizarre Taiva. They come there, so Hashem says, now you're, in other words, in the Midbar, if you want to eat meat, we want that flesh of Bizarre, what do? You have to bring a carbon. The only way to have flesh is in the Midbar, according to Rishmal, was bring a carbon. That's it. There's no Bizarre Kulin whatsoever. There was no such thing as Bizarre Taiva. Coming to Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says, that's not going to be so practical. The only way you can eat flesh is by going to the Mishkan, we're going to the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Yach HaShem is Bulcha, this is a big land. Hashem says, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to give you permission to shecht Kulin. Permission which you did not have before. There's no way to have chulin before, and now there is. You can check it. That's a Rishmal. Alright, and then the rabbis goes on to say, I would have thought maybe that would change again. They go into Golos. Now, permanent halach. Right, which means, by the way, that the reason why I'm calling halachic prehistory was around the Midbar, because that was a Horas Shah. That was a din that stopped the notion you can't check chulin whatsoever. That was. But from the time they came to Eretz Yisrael on, the permanent halacha forever after is that you can sheft animal, sheft chul and eat it. That's Shita Rabbi Shmuel. What's Rabbi Kiva Shita? Rabbi Kiva agrees that shefting chul only began when they came into Eretz Yisrael, but he does not think that means that beforehand it was more chomer. He thinks that beforehand it was more kal. And that beforehand, not that you couldn't shecht, you couldn't eat chulin at all, not even like they shechita, adrabba. Right. So you didn't need shechita. He says back in the Midbar, you could just, nechira, just kill the animal. Just chop off its head without all the details of shechita, and that's fine. And that's totally fine. And coming to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says, you're going to step up the game a little bit. Coming to Eretz Yisrael, even chulin now needs shechita. In the Midbar, karbanos need shechita. But Rabbi Kiva thinks a chulin, you can just kill it, shoot it in the head, club it, or at least nechira, literally means to chop up his head. There is some discussion to what extent you actually have any specifics of what nechira is. But let's talk about the example, at least the example that you want to give. You cut its neck, but not with all the details
and nuance of shechita, that was mutter. Totally fine. Come into Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, you can no longer just do whatever. Now you have to share with all the halachas of shechita. All the details are not going to kick in. So Rabbi Akiva thinks that the pasuk is being machmir. Rishmal thinks, loosely speaking, using the language loosely, Rishmal thinks the pasuk is coming to be mekel.
Oh, correct.
Right? In other words, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, Rishmal says, now you are allowed to shecht. Woo! It used to be there's no way to eat b'sarachul at all. Now he gave you a dispensation. Go, if you shecht it, it's mutter. Used to be asar lagamre, but now if you shecht it, it's mutter. And while Rabbi Akiva says, no, it used to be mutter even without shechita. B'sarachul and mutter without shechita. Just have to kill the animal. Nechira. Now you come to Eretz Yisrael. You need to shecht it. Now, can we stop and think for a moment? So usually the way you look at this Gemara, and then you say, okay, well, how do we paskin? If Pesach is even relevant, because it's all Har Rosh Hashanah, because it's not as Mechar at all. It's all the same. But I say, look, Ram paskin, like this time. We'll take a look at them. But instead of doing that, instead of going straight to the Emishva and Mitzvah and seeing which Shita does Rambam quote, but let's work the other way around. Which Shita, based on what, something we saw in Seder yesterday, the Rambam discusses this at the end of Perek Dav Hilcha Shechita. But leaving that aside, without Perek Dav Hilcha Shechita, this was Perek Aleph of Hilcha Shechita. I've not come across people who point this out explicitly, but let's just think logically. What would you expect? How would you expect the Rambam to pass? Not knowing how he actually quotes the Gemara. Look at the Perek Dalet, you'll see how he quotes the Gemara. But leaving that aside, could you have guessed how the Rambam passed? And how? Like Rishmal, why?
Because it's a new mitzvah, you went into Eretz Yisrael, new shechita, now holds that shechita mitzvah. And if you couldn't do shechita at all, now they have to do shechita, so it's a bachta, it's like a mitzvah.
So Kobe says, if your shechita is a mitzvah, and that's the key piece I was looking for, let's think about this from the perspective of what is it telling you about shechita. So you're arguing shechita is a mitzvah, it started then. I mean, this is a study of how to read that pasuk b'zavachta. Yeah, what do you say?
Yeah,
DJW? It is true, it's a good point. It is true, they call that psakar, halacha v'kiv mechadero, bo mechaderav. The machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and one peer, we tell the pasuk Rabbi Akiva, good. So you would expect with your eyes closed, not knowing anything, machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel, typically pasuk Rabbi Akiva. All right. Based on what we know about the Rambam, based on what we know about the Rambam, what would you say? So let's think this through. So Kobe got us started on beginning to think about this sugya, Tazayin Yudzayin, as a way of giving context to the pasuk of Zavachta. We look at the pasuk of Zavachta and that's the mitzvah or non-mitzvah of Shita. Well, here we're putting it into context. I have to tell you, I was for a couple of weeks, I felt like this sugya ought to fit, and there's another machlokas Rambam Ramban about this sugya. What does this pasuk tell me about shechti karbanos outside wisdom? In the midbar, there's manazah. I was trying to figure out, I felt like it ought to fit. And then I realized, forget about the details of shechti chutz, the essence of it. Let's see what Rishmal, let's see what Rabbi Akiva. And Kobe pointed out, we need to think about them as presenting the zavachta. Rabbi Shmuel says, that used to be, that Chulin was just absolutely awesome. The Torah came along and said, you're allowed to shecht. Chiddush, you're allowed to shecht. Rabbi Akiva says, it used to be, you didn't need shechita. This meat was all kosher. This meat was all kosher. You can do whatever. Just chop his head off. Nechira. And then it's fine. According to Rekiva, comes along the pasuk in Dvarim Yudbeis and says, Rabosai, but from once you get into Eretz Yisrael, it's not all mutter. You need to shecht first. So if you're listening carefully,
for Rabbi Shmuel, if you're listening to the pasuk through, you're looking at the pasuk through Rabbi Shmuel's eyes, you're looking at the pasuk through Rabbi Akiva's eyes. So Rabbi Shmuel sees this as presenting the heter. Rabbi Akiva sees it as presenting a need for Shabbat. For Rabbi Shmuel, this meat used to be trade. Bizarre chulin was never kosher. The only way to eat it was to be makdashim. If it was chulin, there was no way to eat it. Forgive a hever me'achai. It's chulin. No such thing as eating chulin. Comes to the Torah and says, you're allowed to eat chulin at fi shechta. Kiva says, no. Adra. It was all mutter. But now you have a need for shechta. So I think I would have guessed, but I'm a little biased, that Rama would line up with Rabbi Akiva. Or let's turn it differently. One might even suggest, perhaps, at least according to the Rambam, that's part of the debate between Rabbi Akiva. Rambam might have understood that's where Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel were debating. Shita matir, merely, or shita amitzah. Shmuel is saying, all the pasuk is saying is this allows you to eat. It used to be totally trade, but now the shita will allow you to eat. Rabbi Akiva is saying, I'm now being mechayev you to shecht. It used to be the shechita was only for karbanos. Now you have to shecht chulin also. But that sounds a little bit more like a mitzvah. Now let's take a look at what the Rambam actually says, and then let's come back to Rabbi Akiva Mishmal and try to put the pieces together somewhere. To take a look at Hilchos Shechita Perek Dalet, the end of Perek Dalet, the last two halachas, Yud Zayin Yud Ches. Kishaha Yisrael by Midbar, lo nitztavu b'shchitza sachulin. Remember that the Rambam is always quoting sources. I mentioned the other day, Rambam's letter to Rabbi Pinchas Hadayan, where he talks about the writing of Mishnah Torah. That's where he talks about he'd forgotten the Maror Makom, and then he realized he ought to provide Maror Makomos. He talks in that letter extensively about the writing of the Mishnah Torah. One of the things he says there, which he says in the Hakdamah too, but he's a little more explicit with the Rabbi Pinchas Hadayan, is that in his mind, he's just quoting Chazal. He's not writing his own Chidushim at all. He's just quoting a Mishnah, a Bavli, a Tosefta, a Yerushalmi, a Sifra, a Sifrei, a Mechilta. He's just quoting sources from Chazal. We often find it very Mechudishtik, because he may quote his own understanding. He will quote Chazal according to the way he understood it, which might be different than Rashi and Tosfos. And obviously, he reorganized and he sifted out all the Shach V'Tarya, and he sifted out all the Shittas and Pasim. Like, he did a lot. But when you read a passage in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam's goal is to quote Chazal. And he writes that if I'm saying my own Chiddush, I will say so. I will say, Yira Eli, it seems to me. Shach once mentioned as a scholar who wrote an article about this many years ago, did a count, I think, 99 times in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says, it seems to me. Which means, well more than 99% of Mishnah Torah is just Kohen Chazal. Rarely does he give his own Kiddush, and he'll mark it as. When he does give a Kiddush, he'll tag it. So he's Kohen Chazal, but the question is, who? We do not expect the Rambam to say, oh, Rabbi Akiva says this, Rabbi Shmuel said that, and here has our pasuk. That's not Rambam's style. He's just going to talk. He's just going to say the maskara. He's just presenting the Torah. Here's what it is. So when you look at a Rambam, you need to ask yourself, as you're learning through, what is Rambam quoting? What line is Rambam quoting? Which sheet is Rambam quoting? Is it a machlokes? Which one is he accepting? Let's take a look. Perek Dalet in Hilchos Shechita Lafid Zayin. Shayisrael b'midbar tzav b'shchita l'chulin el ha'yunokrin u'shochtim ba'ochlin k'sharomas. But the Jews in the Midbar, they weren't required to shech. They could do nechira or shech like all other nations. Interesting one. Like all other nations. Say, like all other nations. Hey, you ought to do this. Do we say that, you know, on Shabbos you can't do malacha, but Motzai Shabbos you can do malacha kishara kol ha'umos? On Yom Kippur you can't eat. Yom Kippur is over, you're not eating food kishara kol ha'umos. That's sort of a striking bit of poetry. What's Ram trying to get at? It used to be that you're allowed to eat without Shechita, like all other nations, like non-Jews. When it's Tavu B'Midbar, that's what it used to be. When it's Tavu B'Midbar, Shechah Rotz L'Shechot, Lo Yishchot El Hashon. But then they were told, once they got more halachos, and they were walking away from being the shaykh a little else, that's what it sounds like. And they can only shef. You want a shef, it has to be shlom. A pesach al boy, ishish beis tzal she ishchat shor, pesach al boy lo hebiyo, l'man she hebiyo, etc. The zavuz it, kresham al hashem. The halach of shu lechot. You can't shef anything that's not a carbon. Harotzel in chorva lechol b'midbar, haya nocher. You want to just kill the animal and go ahead and eat it, kezun tehi. Is this Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Shlom? Who's Ram Pazda? We found it to Rabbi Kiva. He does say clearly, the last line, I wrote to Linkor Balevel and Mimbar Yanova. You want to just kill the apple in the Nefira and eat it at home. Now the Ramas though added a fascinating twist. A fascinating twist. No one had that twist at the beginning about Peshat Balunos. Laying the mood of this. The halacha says, are you going to eat like other non-Jews that we eat in a uniquely Jewish way? The Rambam also threw in something the other side, in Pasuk Kiva, which is, you're allowed to besar nechira is mutter. You don't have to shef the chulin. Just do nechira and eat it. That's not surprising. The surprising piece is, he says, but you're not allowed to shef chulin. Not only you're allowed to eat besar nechira, it was only nechira. Shechita was off limits. That's interesting. So like a little bit of a gishmal made its way in. In terms of the issue of is Bessar Nechir Mutter, yes. Clearly like a Rekita Bessar Nechir Mutter. They did eat Kul in the Midbar. But with a twist, they ate Kul in the Midbar, but never with Shechita. Interesting. Now let's go on to Halakha Yitzchak. Mitzvah Zuh and Ha'ikos L'Doros. El the Midbar Bilbad. But these Halakhas are not Dinu L'Doros. This is only temporary dispensation or Rosh Hashanah. The Midbar Bilvad, the Esa, Ehetar Nechira. That was the rule in the Midbar, when you were allowed to eat Besar Nechira. But in Stavu Sham, Rama stresses, it's not the Yehoshua, Rachman Tzlan, changed it in. This is all built into Torah's Moshe, Rama stresses, this is the Ikra Emuna. Akari Bogre told Moshe Abena, you see in the Chumash, that this is the din now and this is going to be the din later. Yehoshua didn't have the right to change the halacha, just like Yashua didn't have the right to change the halacha. No Navi can say, God spoke to me, and he told me from now on halacha is different. Moshe Rabbeinu got this Nevuah. This is all built into the original Nevuah as Moshe. The only Navi who was authorized to say, Hashem told me this halacha ledoros, that was the unique Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Down the road, a Navi may say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to temporarily do something different, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to reinforce, be mechazik you in keeping the din. But Navi's not going to say a new din, a new permanent din. That's what he says. Hashem already told Moshe Rabbeinu, that Stavu Sham, they already commanded in the Midbar, Yikishi, Kansu, La'aretz, Te'asar Nechira, V'lo Yochuchu, Nel B'Shechita. Now on the one hand, they come to Eretz Yisrael, Nechira is no longer okay, Shechita is now necessary, and the Shechita is now an option. V'yishatu b'chal makam le'ol m'chutzazar. Yom t'yishav kabaris yishav kulun tu. And he quotes the puzzle. V'zuhi ha-mitzvah ha-nohegel z'doros at the end v'shchot v'yachakach yochal. Now we just tied it up, sewed it up very neatly by pointing out that the connection we just made, that thinking about what was going on in the Midbar takes you to then appreciate the mitzvah doros, which is, once again, the Rambam's language, yishav v'yachakach yochal. What do we have? What do we have? So number one, l'chora, this is Rambam l'shitaso. As a matter of fact, it may be that his shita about biyakim ha-mitzvah is rooted in that we could put together what Kovi said and what DJ said. If Macholz Rekiva is Shmuel, Rambam says, I'm going to pass on Rekiva. That's the rule. Halachik Rekiva may chaveiro. If that's the case, then that tells me, once I know that I pass on Rekiva, meaning the Sar Nechira used to be Mutter, and then the Pasuk is about to tell me, now you need to shech, that may have informed the Rambam to say, oh, as he Rambam himself says it, oh, that means there's mitzvah doros, there's a mitzvah from now on to shech, before you eat.
So it is. It sounds like it's very much a shita. And then there's something more. Then there's something more. Because we were wondering, okay, that's beautiful. That's Rambam's shitaso. Rambam's approach that the Kima say, and the Rambam's approach possibly to Bekiva, they work hand in hand. But there's more. We were bothered by Akasha before. Akasha was, what type of mitzvah is this? What's a sorb about it? It makes sense. Kima say. But what does that mean? What kind of mitzvah? So I think you get a lot of hints here. Several Achronim point out that what I mentioned before, the Rambam has this unique twist in the Rebbe Akiva. You were allowed to eat Basar Nechir in the Midbar, and you could not shech. Shechita used to be reserved for Kavanos. And then, coming to Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says, now you have a mitzvah to shech. What type of mitzvah? What are you accomplishing? What type of mitzvah? Other than avoiding the veil, but that's a mitzvah. Not even Yisrael say, Kima say, what type of mitzvah? What's the positive fulfillment? More than just sidestepping the vela, more than just avoiding, ducking a problem with vela, but making sure that it's not a vela, making sure it's nishchat properly, the shechita itself is a mitzvah. Shechita itself is a mitzvah. So it could be, I think, that what emerges, and then I had a chance to discuss with Rabbi Chaim Packer, one of the brilliant minds of our Beis HaMedrash, and I had a chance to develop this some more with him, is that, you know what the mitzvah is? If you think about context, coming to Eretz Yisrael, now you get to shech. You need to shech, and you get to shech. That's what the Rambam said. Right? Now shechita is necessary, nechira is not mutter anymore, and shechita is also now available. Shechita wasn't available before. You weren't allowed to shech before. That's what he said. Not 100%. You were allowed to shech, but shech what? In the midbar, what was shechita for? Karbanos. The commentary to Zerah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, now you're going to shech chulin too. You're going to need to, and you get to treat chulin a little bit the way you treat a carbon. It's like a little bit of carbon flavor. And it's indicated, I think, also by the psu, the way the psukim unfold afterwards is, but on the one hand, you're allowed to eat it b'tuma, you're allowed to eat chulin outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside Yerushalayim, you can shechta outside the Beis HaMikdash, but don't eat the chalev and don't drink the dam, and shechtet. So there are some Rishonim who suggest that the Iser chalev and dam in a regular, normal animal, chulin animal, may be connected to the fact that when you bring the animal as a carbon, the chalev is one of the main parts that's burnt on the mizbeach, and the dam is the major chalev gavoa, the major chalev of the animal that goes on the mizbeach, even more so than what gets burnt on top, is the dam. The major avoda, the primary avoda of a carbon, is shechting, and then you catch the blood, you walk over to the mizbeach, and you sprinkle it, depending on the carbon, you apply it somehow through zrika, or through matan dam ve'etra, through shpicha, but you apply the blood to the mizbeach. That's the chelek avon. That's the chelek goes with that, is the blood, plus also the chelek gets perfect on his back. There are some Rishonim who said that the fact that when we shecht an animal in Iowa or in New Jersey, we also don't eat the chelek and don't drink the blood, that may be like a related to the fact that were this animal to be a carbon, that would be mamash chelek avon. That would be going on in the chelek avon on his back. So this is not a carbon. This is chulin. You're not going to put this on his back. Now, I'm not allowed to put this on his back, but still, it's not for you to eat, not for people to eat. The truth is, in context, there are three things in every chulin animal that this Kipsukim and Dvar and Beis are presenting that are similar to a carbon. Isur chelev, isur dam, and a mitzvah, shechita. But also might be like a little bit of carbon flavor. And for the Rambam, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Number one, Nechira used to be allowed, now it's not, now you have to shech. Okay, that's the mitzvah. But more than that, specifically the Rambam presents it, that you weren't even allowed, originally Shechita was a uniquely carbon feature. It was only for Karbanos. Now going to Rishmol, even Rambam thinks even for Bekiva, Shechita was only for Karbanos. You didn't need, you were allowed to eat Basar without Shechita, Chulun without Shechita. the Sarataiva Benechir was mutter, but Shechita was reserved for Karbonos. You come to Beis HaMikdash, come there, it's all say, now you're going to start shechting everything.
And what does that mean? Now you're looking at me and say, okay, Rabbi, that's very nice, but you haven't solved the problem. Okay, so now there's this mitzvah, and it's like carbon-like. And what do I do with that? Well, what type of mitzvah? It's not a carbon. Well, wait a minute, there's a mitzvah to treat a little bit like a carbon. Are we confused? That's very dangerous. If you think that your chulin is a carbon, then you're going to violate me'ilah when you eat it. What's the value in, like, it's sort of a carbon? What does that mean? Can you think of any other area of halacha that applies much more frequently where you do things the way we would do them in the Beis HaMikdash, even though you're not anywhere near the Beis HaMikdash? We organize ourselves, organize our bodies the way we would in the Beis HaMikdash. What do you say, Shua?
Hoshanas.
Okay, good. There are a number of mitzvahs which are zeichu and mikdash, very good. Hoshanas and lulav and cholamoleg. And so there are a number of dina which are zeichel and mitzvah. We actually replicate what was done based on mitzvah. And now when you think even more broadly, it's a halacha that appears at the very beginning of Or Chaim. It's something that applies every single morning. And also throughout the day. Every single morning. Simon Beis in Or Chaim. What do you say?
Facing east
or south. Facing east or south. Okay, that's connecting our tefillah to based on mitzvah. Good. Even more basic. Tefillah is the end carpet. This is nothing to do with the appearance of Avodas HaKarbonos in this context is absolutely shocking. What do you say, Goldberg? And then what else? Negel Vasser. Okay, good. The Rosh, I believe, right? It's not the Rosh. The Rosh, the Rajba. Somebody shall say the idea of Negel Vasser in the morning is like a Kohen washes his hands and feet from the Kiyar before he can do Avoda. You have to be Ruchutz Yedayim V'Ragayim. So every Jew is going to wash his hands in the morning to recognize that I'm about to avoid it. Not avoid sakrabanos, but avoid sakrabanos. Very good. Keep it going, yeah?
Not tefillah.
Tevila. How do you mean? And what does that have to do with the Beis HaMikdash?
Every morning.
Ah, okay. So you're saying if those Jews who follow Takanas Ezra say there's a little bit of a Beis HaMikdash flavor to it. Okay, good. But I'm talking about something which is a chiyuv. Yeah? So we have the Nitzil Sedayim. What else do you do in the morning that's even more remote from Karbanos? Mamash, nothing to do at all. And I'll give you an added hint. Usually do these things may end a Karban, except when there's an opportunity to do it in a way that parallels tefillin. Even though, tie your shoes, you tie your left shoe first. There's a sugya in Shabbos Samach Aleph, which is quoted in the Tur in Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim Simon Beis. Simon Aleph is waking up in the morning, Simon Beis is getting dressed. It says there, a couple of halachas about getting dressed. And one of which is, that post can point out, probably not Mikra Din, because if you go through the Gemara and Shabbos carefully, it doesn't seem like the Maskanis is required, but at least a Minig Yisrael is normally, when you get dressed, so you put on the right before the left, except when you're tying your shoes, you tie left before the right. What's that all about? Well, the Kohen Beis HaMikdash would do avodah with his right hand. His left hand is possible. Ah, so that's why you put on your shirt, you're going to put your right, if you can train yourself, to put on the right before the left. Right sleeve before the left sleeve. Okay, put the right shoe before the left shoe. When it comes to tying the shoes, well, tying, we tie tefillin on the left arm, so let's tie our left shoe before our right shoe. You've probably heard of this. And if you were honest with yourself, you wondered, what on earth does any of that mean? My shoes are not tefillin. And I'm putting shoes as not. You don't put tefillin on both arms, but on your left arm first. You put tefillin only on the left arm. On your left arm, on your right arm. But no one's telling you to wear one shoe. What does this mean? And your shoes are not tefillin. And the Chalila of Machaz, no one should ever put tefillin on their feet. But what does that mean? Because you tie tefillin, so tie the left shoe for the right shoe. Ma! And Avodas HaKarbonos with the right, after you put on your right sleeve or left sleeve, there's not Avodas HaKarbonos. What is going on? If you're honest and thinking, you're going to ask, why are you Shvita Yetzer HaSinah? But the answer seems to be, I've heard this chapter, but I think others point to that as well, that this Minhag Yisrael is meant to reinforce a very important concept. Of course, your shoes are not tefillin. Achmal tzlan, you should never put tefillin in your feet. Your shoes are not tefillin. And of course, your jacket is not big day kahuna. And if you think it is, you might be in violation of Me'ilah if you're maktish your jacket. Because then you shouldn't be wearing it. Your shirt, your sweater, they're not big day kahuna. And that's exactly the point. Because I would imagine a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash dealing with the karbonos, that's avodas Hashem. That's a mitzvah. Wow! That's very holy. Right? It's hard to imagine something holier than that. The kohanim bringing karbonos to the Beis HaMikdash in our own lives, tefillin is a mitzvah. It's paradigmatic. That's a mitzvah. Tefillin is a mitzvah. You make a bracha, you have karbonos before and then during. It reinforces all sorts of ikari emuna. Abstract, applied, the psukim from Chumash Dvar, the psukim from Chumash Shmos. That's clearly a avodas Hashem. How put on your shoes? Put on your shoes, avodas Hashem?
No.
So you might say. Very good. So Maimonides, in the third paragraph of Hilchos Deos, is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Melachim, says, you can take a look later, Deos Paragimel Halachos Beis and Gimel. Deos Paragimel is all about how we relate to what your attitude be about the physical world, physical mundane activities. So in Paragimel Halacha Aleph, is where he tells us that we thoroughly reject the Christian and Muslim idea that the holiest person is the one who is a mokhen and ascetic and is removed from all mazeh, and we thoroughly reject the Christian and Muslim idea, which is really a digging back, a Zoroastrian idea that physicality is fundamentally bad and physicality is fundamentally opposite of holy. But never, you know, you have to live, so you have to eat. But it's all concessions, all bidyeva. That's why Christians believe that the holiest person is the monk or the priest who is celibate and ascetic and has removed from all mazeh as possible. And all of all mazeh is all bidyeva. And that's why, yeah. And that's ultimately rooted in an avodah zarah notion that we talk about every single day during Shacharis. Because Kriya Shema in the morning open up with a quote, a paraphrase of Yishayahu. Yishayahu tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu Yotzer Or Vori Choshech, Oseh Shalom, Uvori Ra. Kadosh Baruch Hu created everything. The good, the bad, the light, the dark, everything is from Ribono Shel Olam. Unlike the Zoroastrian idolatrous idea, there's a good. How can there be good and bad in the world? How can there be nice things and painful things? Oh, it must be. There's a good God and a bad God, and they're fighting with each other. And we're stuck in the middle. There's a God of light and a God of darkness. Needless to say, that belief is utter kfir and avodah zarah. And that's a big part of the significance of Hashem Echad, the second Imam, and believe in Achdus Habore, is a single power who runs the entire universe, even though we often look around the world, it often looks very fractured. And you could have arrived at that mistaken conclusion. There must be different forces. Ultimately, we believe that it's all kind of emotional. How that works is a good question. Beyond our focus right now, we will research and we talk about that over the course of Machshava next couple months. But we understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzer Hara, the creature of Kadosh Baruch Hu, suffering the creature of Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's all from emotional. Now, that's interesting abstract theology and incredibly practical significance. Rambam says in Deos Gimel Aleph, we don't think that the physical world is inherently negative. You're not holier just because you're more ascetic, just because you're more removed from the world. Then the Rambam goes on to say, the rest of Paragimel, Allah is based on Gimel, it also doesn't mean that not only is physicality not automatically negative, it doesn't even have to be neutral. It could be positive, which is, and he goes on to say the following. He says, we know that there are a lot of mitzvahs. Putting on tefillah is a mitzvah, giving tzedakah is a mitzvah, avoiding lashon hara. Many things are obviously overtly mitzvah acts, or I'm avoiding an issur, or I'm doing a mitzvah. The Rambam says all this other neutral activity, It's not aser, but it's not a mitzvah. I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to eat, I'm going to work, spend time with my kids. Like, well, what is that? The Rambam says, it's all in your head. The Rambam says, it's up to you whether that will be neutral or mitzvah. The Rambam says, let's say, I'm hungry, so I eat. I made a bracha, food kosher. I was hungry, so I ate. I was tired, so I went to sleep. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing right with that. There's nothing wrong. That's totally fine. You ate kosher food. You went to sleep. That's fine. You didn't miss Meyer. You didn't miss Shabbat. You went to sleep. You're tired. You went to sleep. That's fine. Nothing wrong. It wasn't a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah of sleeping. Where is it? If I eat matzah leila seder, that's a mitzvah because that's a maisa mitzvah. Be'er tochu matzahs. But stop. I had a sandwich for supper. It wasn't Pesach. It wasn't Shabbat. It wasn't Yom Kippur. Sandwich for supper. Nothing wrong with that. Not an aveira. If it's kosher. Not a mitzvah. Neutral. It says the Rambam. Imagine, it doesn't have to be that way. Rambam says, but imagine if I spend 5 seconds considering what I will accomplish with this supper. Meaning, I spend 5 seconds thinking about, I'm going to eat supper so that I'll have koach later to learn to daven to do chesed. I'm going to go to sleep now so that tomorrow I'll have a clear mind, and I won't be so irritable, and I'll be able to be nice to people. I'm going to go sleep now so that tomorrow I can daven well. Let's go sleep now so that tomorrow I can work on whatever holy projects I have for tomorrow. If you have kavana in your head, if you're intentional about, I'm doing this neutral, mundane activity so that in order to accomplish XYZ in my avodas Hashem, if I'm aware of that and have that kavana, the Rambam says, you just convert that neutral activity into a mitzvah. What mitzvah? Rambam says, "Pasuk in Mishlei, b'chol drachecha de'eil." To know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your ways. What does that mean? Rambam says it means this. You can have Yediyas Hashem, b'chol drachecha. In all sorts, even mundane activities, could be mitzvahs. If you have Yediyah. If you have kavana, if you think about why you're doing things, and it fits into the... I see this as enabling Avodas Hashem going forward, and then this too becomes mamash a mitzvah. And before we come back to Shita, we're going to need this idea in a moment to come back to Shita, but once we're on the topic of B'chol Drachecha De'eil, let's just build it out a drop more, an illustration that I once heard from Rabbi Tversky Shlita. So imagine, said, let's just play this out. Imagine two friends. Reuben and Shimon. And if you look at their daily calendar, their weekly schedule, it's basically the same. They both spend the same amount of time learning, both spend the same amount of time davening, both spend the same amount of time at the gym, both spend the same amount of time at work, and sitting in traffic, and with their wives, and with their kids, and blah, 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 blah. Same exact schedule. One of them is being Ovid Hashem 3 hours a day. The other one is being Ovid Hashem 24 hours a day. They're doing all the same things. But Reuben eats when he's hungry. Nothing wrong, not there. What a missed opportunity. Because Shimon spent 10 seconds thinking about, I'm eating so that I can accomplish X, Y, and Z. I'm going to sleep so that I'm going to sleep now so that I'll be able to handle people better tomorrow. You just converted the 8 hours or however many hours you sleep into, isn't that amazing? Rambam says, you're sleeping. The 5 seconds of kavana beforehand, again, kavana doesn't mean you put a kavana on shabbat, but an awareness of why you're doing it converted hours of sleep into mitzvahs. Again, it wasn't aveira otherwise, it was neutral. But that's halakhah. Physicality, neutral. Fundamentally neutral. But it could be converted, transformed into mitzvahs. He said, Hagabi Atzmacha, after 40, 50 years, Reuben and Shimon side by side. And one of them was being over at Kaddish Parwa 168 hours a week. And the other one was 1 week. That's a lot of time. That's a big difference. Over decades? Wow. So this Rambam, again, Hilchos Beis Paragimel, Halachos Beis Gimel, on the one hand, it's a little bit overwhelming. On the other hand, it's very hard. You know, it's, what missed opportunities there might be. On the other hand, what opportunities there are. You can manage to be over at Kaddish Baruch all the time. Not just when you're doing overtly my sinners.
pretty important idea. How many of the kinyan ideas, like, it's arguably the most common halacha in Shulchan Aruch. This is all day long. All day long with B'chol Drei Havadeim. How many hours, if you're in yeshiva, you have more hours of overt Ma'aseh Mitzvah. But if not, how many hours do you have of overt Ma'aseh Mitzvah? Maybe a couple hours a day. And B'chol Drei Havadeim is all day long, potentially. This is arguably one of the most common halachas in Shulchan Aruch. Really important. Life-changing. This is Machshava L'Ma'aseh. This is Mamash Machshava L'Ma'aseh. I even keep this in mind. So Shachar suggested that's the pshat in our Chaim 7 days. It's as you were saying before, and I wash my hands till Zedayim to remind myself that although I'm not going to be spending the day based on Mikdash, I could still have the day full of those Hashem. I'm going to do mamish mundane activity. I'm going to put on the right sleeve for the left sleeve, the right shoe for the left shoe, tie the left shoe for the right shoe. The shoes aren't tefillin. The jacket is not big day kahuna, but the point is, it doesn't have to be in order to be a mitzvah. Kishem, the Avos HaKavonah is obviously a mitzvah. Kishem, the Hanukkah Tefillin is obviously a mitzvah. Kach, mundane things like getting dressed, could also, with proper intent, be transformed into mitzvahs. Oh. Aligned with this idea, by the way. And the notion that we don't see physicality as fundamentally negative, and we even see it as opportunity, potential for great Kedusha, is the fact that the Rambam, in his Sefer Kedusha, did it, I think we spoke this last week a little bit, did we? Rambam's 14th Sfar. The Mishnah Torah is broken into 14th Sfar. One of them is the Book of Holiness. What do you expect to find in the Book of Holiness? Holy things. Torah. Karbanos, Kesa Mikdash, none of that. What's the Sefer Kedusha we know by now? What's the Sefer Kedusha? Yisurei Bia, Machalos HaSuris, and Shechita. That's a little surprising. If you're paying attention, you're like, really? And the Rambam says, yeah, that's surprising. You need to fix your perspective. The Rambam actually writes in that page that we got to know the other day, where he transitions from the Mina Mitzvah Katzah to the Mina Mitzvah Seder HaLachos, and he gives you the very brief, bullet points about the 14th, when he introduced the 14th Sfarim, he writes there, Sefer Kedusha is going to include these topics, halachas of eating and of intimacy, because these are powerful opportunities for Kedusha. And the Rambam here says that Shecht is a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? That's what we started saying before. It's almost like shiari, like me'ena karba. Right? That's what we started saying before. And the shecht, an animal, the same, I'm not going to eat the chayim, I'm not going to eat the dan, I'm going to shecht it to shame that we shecht karbanis. But it's not a karban. Yeah, of course it's not a karban. And neither are your shoes tefillin. But you're going to put on your shoes, me'en the way you put on tefillin. Of course, you put on both shoes, don't put on shoes just on the left foot. Of course not. And that's tefillin. They're shoes. You need shoes on both feet. But you're going to, there's going to be a wrinkle in the way you put on, there's going to be a twist in the way you put on the shoes. Dafki, hakpa, for the left side. Why? What's driving that mini gasol? To remind myself that this could also be a mitzvah if done with proper kavanah. So the eating, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to remind yourself that it's not a carbon, but it also could be kadosh. There's intent, as Ram says, this is safer kedusha. Eating, like, and that's perhaps why he opened this by saying it used to be it was mamish, just eat however you want. Kishar, shar ha'och, ochlin kishar ha'umos. The beginning of Dalal Halach Yitzayin Shechita. It used to be before any restriction, they eat like any other human being. Not bad, not good. Eating is something we share with the rest of humanity. As a matter of fact, eating is something we share with the rest of the animal kingdom. Everyone eats. Not bad, not good. It's a biological necessity. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to transform a biological necessity into kiddushan of the mitzvosah. It could be more than just, a delivery vehicle for macronutrients and micronutrients to my cells. More than just a biological necessity, it's an opportunity for kiddusha. And that's why when they went there, so Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you picked up the last 40 years that shechita has something to do with karbanos. From now on, you can do it to every single animal you eat. You're going to eat meat. It's going to be, you can remind yourself, it's not just that it's kosher,
it could be holy. Not a carbon, but without being a carbon, it could also be holy. With the right kavana, are you just stop eating because I'm hungry? Or are you eating because, yeah, I'm hungry, and it tastes good, and that's great, and this is going to give me the energy to accomplish X, Y, and Z mitzvah. This is going to give me the energy to do what I need to do. All of a sudden it becomes purpose, when it's more than just itself. When the eating is leman something larger, that's when the eating is the idea of Hashem. That's when the eating is kadosh. And that might be the mitzvah of Shechita. The mitzvah. Yeah, nevela is trait. That's macholos asuros. But there's a mitzvah to prepare your food a certain way. Sheyishchak achach yochal. They shouldn't just be stam eating like any other member of the animal kingdom. Nothing wrong with that. But what a missed opportunity. When you can instead contextualize your eating with a crown. May end carbon. Not chalila that has kedushas carbon and mi'ila. But that this too is a bonus Hashem. So give it a shechita. Give it a shechita. And remind yourself that this is that even eating flesh, which often brings out, eating flesh doesn't always bring out the most refined instincts in a human being, but eating flesh is also could be, with the right kavana, a path to incredible kedusha. So I think that, I believe, is what the Rambam, that's the Hezbra Hadavar. You want to know what is it? What's the sense? And there's a mitzvah to shecht? I think it's you put all the pieces together, meaning the context of the Chumash, Chayel and Dam, and the context of the Rambam. He does quote Rabbi Kiva, which makes sense because that's consistent with saying Zekim Aseid. But there's that I read Shmo Dick a line. In other words, he quotes Rabbi Kiva, but also thinks that you weren't allowed to shecht chul in the midbar. Shechita began as a reserve for karbanos. And then what's happening is, yes, it's a mitzvah to shecht, and also we are allowing you. From now on, you need to and are allowed to do to chulin what you used to only do for karbanos. Much. So, and you have that model, you have the model of the right and the left, Simon Beis. It's not only minig Yisrael and Simon Beis, it's a mitzvah daraisa. This notion of finding ways to reinforce the b'chol gevurah da'eu, that is the mitzvah daraisa of shechita. And I believe that's what we're going to be learning over the course of this year. We're going to be digging into Mitzvah Shem and Ian, into the so we'll have a chance to learn some of the sugyas of the Mitzvah Shechita and the Lava of Nevela. We will be returning to much of the lumdus of this psicha, a lot of the lumdus we're going to be returning to and coming back to, maybe refining, and we're also laying the groundwork for both the lumdus and the machshava, which ought to ideally go hand in hand, and here in Sefer Kedusha, it tends to be more obvious that there's a lot of interplay between the rigorous lumdus and the lofty machshava. Number one, now they're all back in the shiur room, I just want to begin by being mosif one point what we said before. I realized over the course of Seder that I did not sufficiently highlight clearly the key point, that one of the key points that emerges. And I think this will bring everything together. The key points that emerge in this whole approach of the Malbusha Yom Tov to reading the Rambam and how that relates to the Machlokes of the Kiva Rishma. Initially, we may have looked at, said, look, there are three shitas how to read Vizavachta. Not a mitzvah at all. Just details, like the second day in Tosis. Or the first day in Tosis, it's the Isser Aseh. Or the Rambam, who says it's a Kiyum Aseh. Right? And if you're thinking about that then you might say, okay, so basically it's like the Rambam, the first day in Tosis, against the second day in Tosis. Is it a mitzvah or is it not? But there's a sharper way to look at it, which is the Rambam versus everyone else. Because both the 2 days in Tosfos may disagree whether or not there's a new Easter of Eino Zevucha. But they both agree that all that's involved is Isurim, either only the Easter of Nevela or both Nevela and Eino Zevuach. And as a result, the role of Shechita is solely to be a Matir. Shlita merely only is matir isur. That's what both days in Tosus hold. The Rambam uniquely holds that Shlita is more than merely a matir. Shlita is matir isur nevela. That's Hilchas Machal Sasurus, the lava of nevela. But in addition to being a matir, the Rambam and only the Rambam holds that, unless the Rush perhaps agrees with him, we didn't take a look at the Rush in Ksubas, Paragalf, Simeon Beis. But the Rambam Shita is the only one who says that it's a mitzvah, meaning, and Shneur Cutler stresses this in his Shiurim, that for the Rambam, yes, you're not obligated to shech, but Shita is a Maisa mitzvah. When you do Shita, that is a Maisa, it's an inherently valuable act. Whereas according to both Deus and Tosas, Shita is not inherently valuable. There's no Kiyum mitzvah in Shita. It's just avoiding problems. They debate whether you avoid one problem or two. If you avoid just Nevela, you also avoid Nevela as well as Eina Zavua. But either way, Shchita remains merely a matter. The Rambam uniquely holds that Shchita is also a Maisa Mitzvah. And that, again, brings us to Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that the Pasuk V'Zavachta is coming to Matir Isurim. It used to be Besar Chulin was Aser, Besar Taiva was Aser in the Mizbar. It comes to V'Zavachta and says, now it's Mutter. How's the mutter via shchita? But the thrust of that whole pasuk is lahatir, as the Braisa says in the Baam Tezayin of Beis. Yishmael says, "Laba hakasim pasuk is coming to matir isurim." Yes, shchita is a matir. Rabbi Kiva is saying more than that. That the besar nechir was already mutter. Now we're imposing that meat which was mutter anyways now requires shchita. So that way it lends itself to saying the shchita is more than merely a makir, the shchita is actually a mitzvah. I don't think it's mukrach. In other words, you don't have to say that shchita is a mitzvah if you hold up your bekiva. The other Rishonim may hold up your bekiva as well, but it's hard to say that it's a mitzvah if you hold up your bishmal, and if you hold up your bekiva, you're not forced to say that there's a mitzvah, but it's definitely very suggestive. And so that's the way the Rambam lines it very smoothly. And then as we saw before, not only does the Rambam hold up your bekiva, he adds that twist of shchita, the act of shchita, the meat was permissible as besar nechira, with nechira, but the act of shchita Rambam holds was forbidden on chulin until they came into Eretz Yisrael. So that notion that shchita used to be the province of, the act of shchita was the province of karbanos, when they come into Eretz Yisrael, that's when it's needed, but also allowed to be used outside of kutchim. That's, as we said before, that already gets you thinking that this mitzvah, that the Rambam sees in Rabbi Kiva, is specifically a mitzvah of barring some of the kutchim thinking and applying it to chul. In other words, that would, as I suggested, maybe it means that by using shchita, which used to be associated with solely with kutchim, so that's going to help reinforce the notion that even eating basar chulin, basar taiva is not inherently bad, and you could even be mekadesh. It could be done properly, it could be not only not bad, not usser, neutral, but even a derech to kedusha. It could be like a, not that the animal's a carbon, but that like a carbon, there's mitzvah, there's potential for a mitzvah here as well. That was just to clarify what we brought up before.